listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And hello and welcome to this week's edition of Spirit of Life Service. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, glad to be here tonight. See a few of our favorite people in the chat, too. It's going to be a good night.
Yes, in this edition for Wednesday, January 20th, 2016, Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com that offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many other areas, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org that offers standalone courses in metaphysics as well as degrees. Now, as I started last week, instead of reading our abbreviated principles of belief, I'm taking them one a week and kind of expanding on them. Last week we did number one, which is do no harm, do right. And tonight, the second principle of belief, and I'm going to read the regular version of it, not the abbreviated. But principle number two is we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. So I want to just comment a little bit about that, and there's a full explanation of that principle on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Just look on the navigation bar for our beliefs and you'll find it. And the gist of this is that humanity is a race of survivors. And the very fact that you're listening to this right here and right now is a testament to this truth. Humanity has overcome the most tragic hardships imaginable from prehistoric times right up into the present. I mean, if you think back, think of what we've had to overcome as a species, as a human race. We've had adversity. We've had to contend with animals, several times our size in the distant past. And the not-so-distant past, we even defeated the tyrannical-type beasts of a different kind in two world wars. We're still at that today, overcoming these tyrannical beasts. But if you think about it, the human ability to overcome is one of several precious and beautiful characteristics that separates us from all known species. Our power is unequaled. Nothing can defeat it. Nothing can defeat us, especially as a race, as a species. We have this powerhouse of energy within us that can be channeled into any endeavor, just like a mighty river that you can divert with intent and with action. Given time, folks, nothing is beyond our reach. And we have to have this positive attitude, this attitude of deliberate intent that is positive, to channel, to tap in to that storehouse of energy that we have within us. But now with this power that we have, we also have responsibility. That responsibility comes with it. We need to use it in a proper way. And again, we talked about this last week, do no harm, do right. But we have guidance in the form of a conscience. We have an inherent knowing between what's right and what's wrong. And we need to listen to that voice within us. We have a moral compass. The vast majority of people have a moral compass, and it's in the right direction. And the direction is, quote, right, the direction of right. Do no harm, do right. Most people have that. And we need to listen to those voices within us. Sometimes it's just this subtle coaxing You know, it's like just below the threshold of our conscious awareness. And once it finally surfaces, we think, oh, yeah, that's of course. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I realize that sooner? But it's there, and we need to tap into that. And so because we have this inner knowing, this power within us, we need to use it. We need to address it. It's our higher self. We need to tap into that power. We need to be our own guru. What that means is we seek our own counsel. Now, it doesn't mean we can't seek advice from other people. We can do that. But we need to ultimately make our own decisions. Ultimately listen to that guru within. And that also means that we don't put other people up on the guru pedestal, because it's up to us. We have that responsibility. We have the power. We can do anything we want to do at given time. And as I've said a zillion times, how hard can it be? So if you've got something that you want to do, something that you want to accomplish, don't hold back. You can do it. Believe in yourself. You have to do that. And I don't want to hear all that stuff. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not whatever enough. Those are excuses. You can do what you want. You just have to believe in you. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
No, I was listening. I'm totally, savoring every word you're saying, honestly, because we are pretty powerful. You know, I think, and it's our ability to overcome adversity. I think that's a huge part of our inner power. You know, Michael just made a comment in the chat saying the trying moments in our lives shape us mostly by how we respond to them. And there's a lot of power in that, Michael. He always comes out with these brilliant one-liners, doesn't he?
I know.
Go ahead. But rather than reacting, which is usually very spontaneous and emotional, it's learning how to interact with life and respond, and not having thought yourself inferior, insecure. But these are really hard things to build when we live in a society that is always competitive. And I think if we can set that aside and compete with ourselves and tap into that, it's like to challenge ourselves about that, because that knowledge does exist inside. But one really important thing that you did say, it doesn't mean we can't seek other counsel, because that's how we stimulate for new ideas, new solutions we haven't thought of, you know, because we're all going by the best frame of reference that we have. So we want to, you know, educate ourselves and expand our, you know, our knowledge base. I think it's, I always say it's like my brain files. You know, I want to expand my brain files. So it's important to do that. But intuitively, you know, it's all has to do with following your own path and finding that power within you to do that. And courage, bravery, you know, it all works in together.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, you got something you want to accomplish, go make it happen. No excuses. Yeah. Go do it. You know, like Nike said, just do it. It's good advice. Just do it. So I'd like to welcome all of those with us tonight. Thanks for joining us. Those in the chat room listening to the live program, those listening to the archives, we appreciate you spending your time with us. Dr. Hunter pulled a card from our Inner Oracle card deck. These cards are basically show the face values of bunches and bunches of different concepts and metaphysical teachings that we teach in metaphysical humanism and that we teach at our schools. And I'll let Dr. Hunter talk about the card that she pulled for our discussion.
Well, you know, I think this is really important and in keeping with, what we're talking about, and it's gratitude. That's number 36 in the Service to Self and Others suit. We have 5 suits in this deck. So number 36, and it just reads simply like this. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life. No matter how seemingly small or insignificant, the truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life, while giving freely, without want for a return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. You know, there's power in that because you're choosing to see the good side instead of the bad side. And this goes right along, I think, with what Michael was saying earlier about responding, you know, how we respond. And sure, trying moments shape us. They certainly do. But they shape us, as he said, mostly by how we respond to them. So the gratitude, that doesn't mean we have to be glad for bad experiences. We don't have to be, because it's people. We're all people that are creating the experiences. However, when you do see those little good things in it, you hold on to yourself, you retain your power, you're not giving it away. So that gratitude, even to be grateful that you're you. Boy, I'm so glad I'm me. You know? And instead of people who are not so kind and good. But that gratitude extends to our behavior, good manners, and again, that graciousness that's meant in the definition here. And so it's, gratitude goes a long way. Dr. Kelly.
Yes, well said. In fact, it kind of dovetails right into what I was talking about just a few minutes ago about the indomitable power of the human spirit. And gratitude goes hand in hand with that. We have to be grateful for what we have. You know, so often we focus on what we have rather or don't have rather than what we want. And so because our minds or unconscious minds zero in on that, we get what we focus on. If we're always focused on what we don't have, well, we're going to have more of what we don't have. So we need to focus on what we want, and we need to be grateful for what we have, understanding that in due time we can get anything we want. It's just the way life works. We need to have a little patience, and, of course, you know, I haven't always been patient, but you're forced into it, so you have to embrace it and just go with it. But in time, I've done everything I've wanted. I've gotten to do or acquired everything I wanted. Okay, I haven't gone to the moon yet, but that might be a ways off. But you get the point, okay? You can basically do and have what you want to a reasonable extent. But we have to be grateful for it. And, you know, that brings another point before we pull another card. I posted a news story at oneplanetcommunity.com, and if you're a member of the church or of the school, you can join that. It's a Facebook-like private network. But it's about the state of the world, according to one finance fellow, expert, financial expert. He basically says the world is actually becoming a better place. And he makes a good case, and it's posted there. And it's true. It's, the world is much better today than it was when I was younger, I should say. You know, I grew up thinking the world was getting worse, you know, because I grew up Jehovah's Witness, and Armageddon's coming, the world's going to heck, and if I'd say hell, but I can't swear on the air. But, you know, the world's just going to crap, and this old system of things is going to die. It's getting worse and worse, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong. The facts are quite different. Crime is down. Things are much better than they were, even though we still have our problems. And we have the internet, and we have, you know, mass communications, global communications, so we're all aware of more of what's going on. But the fact is, things are better. And that fits right in with my own optimism for the human race. So we can be grateful for where we're at. We may not have everything we want or where exactly we want to be, but we can get there. But we've got to be grateful. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, Dr. Norman Wilson's with us tonight again. Thank you for being here. He makes a comment in the chat. Gratitude is not something we express from time to time when something good happens to us. It is and should be an expression of the joy of living, of being alive. And, you know, I've often said, well, I'm just happy to be here. You know, it's just good to be here. And there can be a peace and a calm in that, and that there is that gratitude, even if we don't always understand why we're here. But it's, you know, it is an expression of joy. So yeah, just wanted to share that.
And I think Dr. Norman, I think you encapsulated everything we were trying to say here. We need to be grateful as a matter of routine, not just when something great happens to us. Of course, we can get excited when that happens, but we basically have an ongoing high level of, quote, excitement for life and gratitude. I mean, you know, just last night was driving, and I was thinking about this, about the lottery, and everybody wants to win the lottery. Do you realize?
Yeah, of course we do.
But, you know, in a sense, we've all won the lottery, if you think about it. First of all, we won the biggest lottery of all, and that's just being born. And that was a lottery far greater than anything we can, you know, buy tickets for today. But so we've won that lottery. But think about where you're at. Every one of us is in a certain set of circumstances that we may or may not have designed intentionally. We did design them, but, you know, it's like winning the lottery. I mean, if you mapped out a set of circumstances and then tried to buy tickets to win those circumstances, well, obviously it doesn't work that way, but in a sense, the unique set of circumstances that each one of us finds ourselves in, out of the, you know, innumerous or an infinite variety or a number of circumstances that we could be in, it's kind of like winning the lottery. But the cool thing about this life lottery is that we can mold those circumstances. You learn the spiritual lesson contained in any event, and you really learn it, meaning you change. Those circumstances pass and allow you to enter into other circumstances. So we've won the lottery, and we can mold and shape our own life lottery. Anyway, good points, Dr. Norm. Want to pull another card?
Well, if it's all right with you, Michael,
sure.
Go ahead. O-N, otherwise Xander, a.k.a. Xander in the chat room. Welcome, Michael. I know this is your first time here, I think, so we're glad to have you. Mm-hmm. He asked for a card, if I can just leap in to do that. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait a minute.
I've changed my mind. No. Oh, wait. Go ahead.
Open-mindedness. Number 38, open-mindedness. I like that one, actually. Mm-hmm. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions. You know, I think if we can go with the flow here in what we're talking about, that power of the human spirit and our abilities, if we think about how open-minded we really have been, you know, in the overall, because of our evolution, you know, we think of where we are scientifically. Look, we're all here on the internet. Now, how open-minded is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really. But it also then layers down into being a metaphysician, for instance, or somebody who's on a journey to explore, being open-minded. You know, it's like always be able to, as I say, be ready to open new brain files, because we're at a very personal level as well as a global level. We are evolving. And in order for that to happen, we have to leave our minds open to possibilities. We have to also make sure that we are sensible, that we're practical. And one of the biggest things we do try to impart, you know, certainly in my work, Dr. Kelly's work, the schools, is it has to have, whatever we learn has to have a sensible application. In other words, to be grounded in our life, not to go off in la-la land or, you know, pet theories and so on, just as this card says. So not to have a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. So sometimes these things shake us up. So I'm saying to everybody, you know, in general, not just you necessarily, Michael, but if that resonates with you, I would hope so. But I'm just expanding on a little bit for everybody else, too.
And just one thing I'll add to that is, along with open-mindedness, we need to think for ourselves. It's kind of very similar. We need to think for ourselves. And yeah, that means being open-minded, not automatically dismissing something or believing in something because it sounds cool or it's, you know, it's, it commonly accepted or popular. We need to think for ourselves, but we need to remain open-minded, and this is never more true than for those who are involved in some form of anomalous research. Be open-minded, just not so open-minded your brains fall out.
Yes, that's funny, because the next card I just picked is number 15, belief system and knowledge base. You're talking about belief systems.
Yeah.
I love it how these cards work. So I'm just going to read this number 15 to you. It's in the existential suit. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside that belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. And, you know, just off the script here, that can really shake people to the core sometimes. So you have to gather your forces a little bit. Equally, when it calls for a revision, consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. Well, that goes right back to what we were talking about, you know, the indomitable power of the human spirit, that it does exist within us, you know, to know that. But it's our brain files. It's kind of how we're programmed through life. If somebody says that, you know, like some cultures all wear long, women wear long skirts and little flowered print shirts, then, you know, the Amish people do, like, for instance, then that's going to be their reality, and that's what they believe in. Equally, there's other people who believe in something else, but we have to be open-minded enough and expand our belief systems to be accepting of people making choices for themselves, equally to respect our own choices. So it's like, I prefer to believe in reincarnation, but I have sense enough to know that, you know, my perspective can shift, in that maybe the past is just simultaneously happening on another level of time space. So maybe it's simultaneously occurring right now. So then I have to come back to this grounded place and say, yeah, but, you know, I live here now, past, present, future. But I'm always analyzing that belief system and always returning back to myself. And then again, you know, you got to be sensible and practical about it. So I think that opening our minds, belief systems, is great.
This belief system goes, again, hand in hand with everything we've been talking about, too, obviously, because your belief is your reality. If you believe you can, you're right. If you believe you can't, you're right. And, I mean, those are all old sayings. So your belief has shaped your reality. And if you change your belief, you'll change your reality. And that's what the process of awareness, growing in awareness, does. When we grow in awareness, we're essentially changing our beliefs. Our belief systems, our belief system about ourselves, about the world, about others, whatever. But that's how things change. And so if you are in the midst of this kind of an evolutionary process, and many people are, they're making big changes in their lives. And a lot of times it can seem, and this is how I described it 15, 20 years ago, it was like I'm on this rowboat in the middle of the ocean in a dense fog with very little light. I have this little flashlight that I can shine ahead, but I can't see where I'm going. I don't know where anything is. And it's just moment by moment, day by day. And yet, I never realized the land was just a hop, skip, and a jump. It was there, and I eventually made it. And then all the fog passed. Everything changed. It became clear, beautiful, bright skies. And I grew, and I evolved, and I learned a lot of stuff, most of which I teach in our schools, and most of what we teach in this program. So if you're in the midst of that kind of a evolutionary growth spurt, it can be very uncomfortable, and you can have self-doubts at times, and you're not sure if you're doing the right thing or going the right direction, and you got to feel your way through it. But you have to understand that this is part of your path, and regardless of whether you make the right decision or the wrong decision, it doesn't really matter, because you're going to learn something from it. And if you do make the wrong decision, you can correct your path. It's all right. It's what we do. It's how we learn. Perfectly fine.
I'd like to share what again, Dr. Norman has written in the chat here. Okay. Being open-minded also means withholding judgment until all the facts are in.
Yeah.
And I just thought that that was important enough to share. Just
absolutely.
Pause here and share, because very often we're going with limited information and making a judgment, and we could be wrong. And then, as you say, Dr. Kelly, we can correct it, though. So mm-hmm. say, you know what, I'm not really gathering enough facts here to have, you know, a judgment. But then do I need to have a judgment? Maybe it's just an opinion. And my opinion is today this until I have more information. And that's fair. So it's fair to do that. You know, Jenny just said, well, that's where I'm at right now, floating through darkness, but I know the clouds will clear, lots of lessons being learned. You know, I'm going to just challenge you just a bit, Jenny. I don't think you're floating in darkness at all. I think you're here now. I think you have your clarity. I think with whatever clarity, you're making one, you know, taking one step at a time, moving one foot forward. And it's just the uncertainty that makes us feel like it's dark. But you're moving forward. And I think that there's a lot of power in that, because it's your spirit that's moving you forward. I believe that truly. I think without that spiritual energy and that deep, you know, that deep inner connection that we have to ourselves and the cosmos, that propels us forward. Because really, if we just looked at the facts some days, we'd say, well, why bother? But there's a desire. There's something in us that says, nope, there's another day. It's an optimism. Let's see what this brings. So it might at one level feel dark, but it's not. Your spirit knows where you're going. So yeah. You're just figuring it out. So that's all I wanted to share there at that moment. You know, Zach, I saw that you I just asked for a card, but I had, meanwhile, as Dr. Kelly was talking, I did pull a card, and I'd like to share this quickly, and then you're on the hit list, Zach. This is Gaines, number 27. And I think that, and the reason I want to carry on with this card is because I think it's relevant. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. So that's all in keeping kind of what we're talking about. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. So I think in line with, you know, making comment to Jenny in the chat there about floating through darkness, it's you're making choices, however small. They don't seem very significant, but they're really, really important, because sometimes the smaller the decision, that one foot in front of the other, is so huge, you have no idea. And also that you're looking at things like, what's a secondary gain versus the true gain? You know, so that's where I say, when you're following your spirit, it knows. And someday you start seeing the different priorities. But the greatest gain is living in the truth of yourself. So that's what I have to say about that. Dr. Kelly, you want to add anything?
I think you covered it. I think it's, everything you said was great. Gaines is kind of self-evident. Yeah. And you know, I guess I will make one quick comment. The trade-offs, you know, anytime you want something, you have to ask yourself, what are you willing to trade for it? And if you think in those terms, it becomes much easier. So go ahead with the card for Zach.
You know, Zach, I got the third from the left. And I did. I really did shuffle these cards. I do every night before we come on and shuffle them up so that I make sure, you know, it don't get anything. So, you know, geez, Zach, get ready for this one. It's number 3 in the Life Leadership Paragon, Self-Acceptance. And this particular one, be who you are, walk your own path. I know he was going to love that one. You know, we love Zach. He's just such a colorful character. Certainly has his challenges, but he's doing great. And it's, but here's for you, Zach. Here's your little cosmic message for tonight. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path. Not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. With a big capital S, self. So that's just a nice little reminder for you. You're a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being. I love that.
And let me comment on this comment. You know, how much of it is a goose chase? And I'm assuming a wild goose chase in terms of many transformations, as Dr. Norman said, and these little the pathways. And as kind of, I think, ties into a comment I made, you're on your path. You may not be able to see exactly where it leads, but you're feeling your way along. You may make a mistake. You may go off on a wild goose chase. But the point is, learn the lesson. Exactly. Who cares? Go learn the lesson from it, and you'll know better next time. That's why you can't go to college and major in experience 101 or any kind of level of experience. You have to live it. And we've all done that. And those of you who are active in the chat tonight, look, from my perspective, you're younger, okay? You're younger. Zach, you're my son's age. You know, I've got other sons older. You know, you're learning, and it's tough in its own way in your late 20s, early 30s, your 40s. I mean, I didn't even start the church till I was 51, and I had a lot to learn. I had a lot of trials, a lot of adversity to figure out, a lot of things to figure out before I was ever going to be in a position to share it and to help others. And my life now is completely settled down. You know, I'm not dealing with an alcoholic marriage or relationship or family members. You know, all that adversity's gone out of my life. And I lived it. I mean, we all have our own story. I lived my story, and it was tough. It was really tough. But it passed. And my dad always used to say, "This too shall pass." A common expression, but he said that all the time. And it does. You know, it will pass. So hang in there. Don't let it beat you. And my own thoughts on it, you know, you got to persevere. Who's stronger, you or the adversity? Make sure it's you.
You know, I would just like to add a kind of a little picture here. For myself, how I was raised, I went through years of debriefing, deprogramming, and rebuilding. And even then, I think, you know, what I was so guilty of was looking for the answer. I'm looking for the one answer. I'm looking for the right way. I want the truth. I want the absolute so that I can tuck it away and get on with the next thing. And, you know, it just came to mind, Zach, and for everybody else who's listening, my oldest daughter was well into her 20s. She was living a few hours away at that time. And I phoned her up one day and I said, "You know all that stuff I used to teach you, that philosophy of blah, blah, blah?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Delete, delete, delete. I was full of crap." She said, "You can't do that. I based the whole premise of my life and my philosophy on that. What do you mean you're wrong?" And I said, "Go to counseling." I don't know.
Thanks a lot.
You know, because here's the thing. We're looking for answers. We're looking for something that's absolute when it doesn't exist. What we are is human beings going through this evolutionary stage. We continue to build. And I can promise you this, that most of life when you're young is ruled on biology. And even when you're older, it's a different kind of biology. And the pictures change based on our needs and how those needs continue to change. The changes our view, the changes our philosophy. So, you know, I'll share this with people. I was very sick many years ago, and every 8 days I have to have a B12 shot or my nervous system falls apart. And I've had lots of healers and lots of so-called, you know, self-proclaimed gurus tell me, "Well, if you meditate and if you do this, you can actually, you know, fix that, correct that in the body. You won't have to rely on that. Have you thought about this other that's less invasive?" And my thought to that, I don't care. It's just a shot. It's just an injection. And, you know, I'd require enzyme transplants or something ridiculous. It is what it is, and it just isn't that important. I think it's really amazing, and this is where we talk about how things have improved. There's actually something that I can inject in my body that I've bought an extra 20 years on the planet. I think that's amazing. You see, I'm still here. And
that means so more is going into a report, people.
That's right. I got a big report. And so it's an encyclopedia set, in fact. But we've talked about earlier about gratitude. You know, it's just see the lighter side. See the other side of it. Everybody has their challenges. And Zach, I know you do have your challenge, especially with MS. I know you've been pretty open about that, and that's awesome. And it's your journey. Now, our hearts are with you. We have all the compassion in the world. But it's your journey. And you keep learning on the journey. Like everybody here has a story. Dr. Kelly has a story. I have a story. Everyone in the chat has a story. And anybody else who listens. That's the ride. So you do your best. And you just keep moving forward. Being grateful for those other little things. There's times when, and I do appreciate this, there's times when I've been paralyzed in bed. For, you know, sleeping 22 hours a day. And that's a pretty scary thing when you know you're dying and you don't know what's wrong and you just kind of surrender to it. Say, okay, because there's nothing you can do until you find somebody, you reach out and somebody says, hey, I think I might have an answer for you. Okay, well, I'll try that too. You know, even when you know you're dying, you're willing to try because somebody said, we could try something new. It was outside of my belief system. It was outside of something else. So everything we're talking about here, you know, but being true to who we are, finding our own path, and just moving forward, we each have our own story. And that's why connecting with one another is so critical. Well, we can support each other, but in a positive way. So I'm going to just get off my little box here in a second. But reach out to people who are solutions-orientated, please. Solutions generated, people who look for options to solutions. You need to vent, you need to commiserate, put a clock on it, 10 minutes, because we all need to vent that stuff. And then move forward. Okay, so it's connect with people who are positive, just like we are right here. So,
and Dr. Norm says you're really talking about personal courage, which is true. And I also want to point out that we all have our story, right? And
yeah.
No one's story is more important or less important than another one's story. It's our story, just like our path is our path. And we have a right to that path. We have a right to our story. We have a right to learn the lessons from our story because those lessons are for us. And sometimes we have to dig deep and learn the lessons between the lines. So, you know, bear that in mind.
You know, about being a one-of-a-kind universal being, something I would, for anybody else listening to this too, because something else popped in my mind, so it must be an intuitive reason that I'm saying this. I had a client I still keep in touch with who is a clinical depressive who has been on medications for that. He finally found a medication that worked for him that doesn't make him want to slash his wrists. But everybody was trying to tell him he should do this naturopathically. Everybody's saying, you know, and he was under so much pressure. So when we started talking and doing our sessions together, I said, well, is it working? Well, yeah. I said, then what do you care? What do you care what other people think? Now, I'm not a big advocate of drugs, but what do I care? If you have found a food source, just like I have with cyanocobalamin, which is a synthetic B12, if that keeps my body alive, go for it. It's your journey. It's whatever you need to do. Now, maybe there'll be a point in time where you'll say, you know, in years down the road, you feel really comfortable. You might want to just do something different, but you got to do it with care. You got to do it with a doctor. You have to do it, you know, where somebody can observe you to get your back. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, take what you need to take if that gets you through it and be willing to change it up, but only if you're strong enough, only if you're, you know, you've, that you're stable enough. So it goes for anything that's in the biochemical system that, you know, causes so-called, you know, depression diseases or disorders. And so it's not just the body we're talking about. And then it's the spirit. So thanks for that, Dr. Norman, about the courage. It's a personal courage that is spiritual. I believe that. And that is the one integral ingredient that most of other cultures don't necessarily take in, you know, it's, you know, or certainly psychology. It's the courage comes from your spirit. So the spirit's strong.
Yeah. Good point. So we've talked about a number of things tonight. We talked about the power of human spirit, seeking your own counsel, gratitude, open-mindedness, belief systems, knowledge, gains, trade-offs, walking your own path, and a bunch of other stuff. And take it in, you know, take what you need, leave the rest, as they say. But more than anything, just be encouraged. You know, be encouraged. And that's one of the greatest gifts we can give anyone, is just the gift of the good word. And that's part of paying it forward. It's part of doing no harm, doing right. And it's part of the solution. It helps to uplift humanity. It helps to raise the vibrational level of humanity. And that's all we can ever hope to do. That's what we want to do. I mean, if that's all we ever do is lighten the load of those around us with through encouragement and a good word, then, wow, how can anybody cite that? How can anybody find fault with that? You know, to be that generous soul with encouragement and positive energy. So hopefully what we talked about tonight will help you and help you to extend that to others as well. Next week we'll be back with another program and another topics. And if you have a topic that you would like to have us consider, then let us know. Email us admin@icmhchurch.org. You know, or any, I mean, you can get that right off the website. You can contact us, and we'll be happy to consider that for discussion on our program. Anyway, again, we appreciate everyone's time, those listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archive. And this will be on the archive probably tonight. If not tonight, then first thing in the morning on the website. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and really, really live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.